You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Okay, stop me if you've heard this one before. A rapper, a blind mountain climber, and a volcanologist walk into a volcano. Actually, that's not a joke. It is part of a new TV series called Welcome to Earth, starring Will Smith. And I stole that joke from the famous actor who starred in movies like Independence Day, Men in Black, and King Richard. I'm not that funny. In the first episode, Boise State University volcanologist Dr. Jeffrey Johnson takes Smith and well-known climber Eric Weinemeyer inside an active volcano on a small island in the South Pacific Ocean to learn about the earth sounds that come out of the crater. Dr. Jeffrey Johnson is joining us to talk more about this experience. Jeff, it's good to have you on the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Jeff, you've been here before with us to talk about your work studying the sounds volcanoes make. I am so curious, how in the world did you end up on this volcano with Will Smith?
Yeah, I had this awesome privilege to take part in a volcano documentary with National Geographic and with Will Smith based upon my interest in volcano sounds. I was contacted to participate in the field work at Yuzhur Volcano because my academic interests are listening to volcanoes.
So what was it like taking Will Smith into an actual volcano? I mean, this was real life. It's not a movie, right? So I have to say, watching it, he looked a little bit nervous when he looked over the edge of where you were going.
Well, I think Will Smith knew what he was getting into when he signed up for this program. But his first encounter with an erupting volcano was, I think it was a bit overwhelming. And I think he did feel intimidated by the idea of descending into the crater. Now, the descent was safe, and it was done in a manner which was low risk. But there's a volcano that's exploding beneath you. And yeah. I think anyone who's sensible might be a little bit nervous.
So you also took climber Eric Weinemeyer into the crater with you as well. Talk to us about him, because, wow, what a story he has.
Yeah, it was such a privilege to be able to meet Eric and work with him on set, because I've known about him forever. I'm a big fan of Eric as a blind climber and someone who's done incredible things, including climbing Mount Everest. And he was extremely easy to work with on the volcano. He would use echolocation to navigate around the crater rim. It was super solid with rappelling, and it just felt like I was with a climbing buddy on the volcano. It was a great privilege to get to meet him and work with him.
Mm-hmm. So you actually got the opportunity to spend a week on the island to study the volcano before all the filming took place. And we have a little bit of sound that you recorded. So let's listen to this. Okay, so Jeff, what were we hearing there?
Yes. So what you were hearing was the audible component of what this volcano, Yuzhur Volcano, is producing. And of course, when it explodes, it will send up bombs and ballistics. And at the same time, it produces this loud, shocking sound wave. And so that is the audible component, the component that humans can hear. But there's this entire world of low frequency sounds that volcanoes produce as well, which is what I specialize in. So my objective to visit Yuzhur with Will and Eric was to showcase this inaudible world of sound that volcanoes produce. And, you know, that loud explosion that we just played was only the tip of the iceberg in terms of the sounds that volcanoes make.
You were actually able to, see volcano sounds on the video that you captured by your camera. Can you talk about what that means? And frankly, why it's actually pretty cool.
Right. So I had the privilege to travel to Yuzhur about a week before the film crew showed up. And the idea was that I would collect some teaser data and be able to show it off on screen. I came equipped with my normal equipment, which is specialized microphones and cameras, and collected data that I more or less expected I would collect. But in addition, I was able to collect with cameras some very, I would say, exciting and novel observations of sound waves propagating through the volcanic plume. And these sound waves could effectively be recorded by our cameras. So with some digital image processing trickery, what we are now able to do is take run-of-the-mill cameras and turn those data, those video, into sound records.
So there was this part in the episode where you tell Will Smith to close his eyes, and then you said, "Tell me what it sounds like." And I was like, "Huh, I'll close my eyes too." Okay. And you start listening to it, and what he said about what it sounded like. I mean, because here you are, you're on top of this volcano, you can hear everything, but when you close your eyes, I mean, Will Smith said, it sounds like the ocean. And it did. It's fascinating.
Yeah, so you're standing on the crater rim of Yazur, which is one of the more active volcanoes in the world. And deep down below you, some 200 meters below, there's a sloshing lava lake, and there's these active vents that are exploding from time to time. And what Will was referring to was the sloshing of the lava lake and those sounds that were created, much like the sounds that you would expect at an ocean. I was also particularly interested in what Eric could perceive, because as a non-sighted person, he's especially sensitive to sounds that you and I may not pay attention to. And Eric quite clearly perceived low frequency vibrations that perhaps you and I can't perceive.
Well, you actually said that to him in the episode. I mean, that he was hearing things that you, I believe your words were, you're like, I'm not sensitive enough to do that.
Right. And my whole career, or a large component of my research career, is based upon recording these low frequency sounds that humans can't hear, but we can hear them with instruments, and then we can visualize them with our computer screens. But that I am not personally sensitive to. So I was very curious as to how Eric may or may not perceive these sounds. In extreme cases, some of these low frequency sounds can be observed by humans. A few years back, I was at a volcano in Chile, and these infrasounds, which again, I couldn't hear with my ears, were so intense that they caused my chest cavity to feel an odd or an uncomfortable sensation. Wow. So this can happen at volcanoes with this world of low frequency sounds that we don't perceive directly through our ears.
So why is volcano science so important?
The question that I get most often is, can we use your volcano science to predict a volcanic eruption in the future? And scientists like to be a little cagey about that. We don't use the word predict so much as forecast. And forecast, much like the weather, means we can give a probabilistic assessment of whether a volcano is likely to erupt. And so that is perhaps the holy grail of what volcano scientists would like to see how their research could be applied. And we can forecast volcanic eruptions. We're getting better at it all the time. And this infrasound monitoring that we've just been talking about, these low frequency sound waves that we can track with specialized instruments, provide yet another tool to anticipate when the next eruption may occur.
I thought it was interesting too in the episode that once you were finished at the crater, Will and Eric and yourself went into the village. There's a village right below this volcano. Basically to find out why these villagers pay such close attention to these sounds. So talk to us a little bit about that, because you talked to the chief of this village it's very interesting what they hear and what they know about this volcano as well.
Yes, meeting the chiefs of the local villages was really a special opportunity for me. The folks who live on Tana Island, which is where Yazur is located, some of them live within 2 kilometers of the volcano. And the volcano normally is existing in this sort of steady state activity of constant eruption. But every once in a while, it will build towards something that's a little bit more violent. And people living within 2 kilometers or 1 mile of the volcano can be affected by ashfall, or potentially if they are on the slopes of the volcano, they can be impacted by ballistics and other potential activity that could hurt them. So the locals are very in tune with the state of activity of the volcano, and they don't always use sort of high-tech volcanological monitoring and paraphernalia, but they listen to the volcano. And that was the point that was being made. The local folks are very much in tune with the sounds, the audible sounds that this volcano is producing.
So, you know, you've studied volcanoes all over the world. But what was it about this particular volcano that I hear was on your personal bucket list?
There are about a half dozen volcanoes worldwide that have lava lakes, including Yazur, which is the volcano that was featured in this episode. It's been on my list of volcanoes to visit. It is a long ways away from the United States, and it's a bit hard to get to. The logistics of organizing an expedition there are not cheap, nor are they very easy. So I would say that this was an incredible opportunity for me to visit a volcano that I had always wanted to work at. And it just happened, I think, a few years earlier than it might have had I gone through the process of doing it for a scientific expedition.
Mm-hmm. So why was taking part in this series and being able to share your work with Volcano Sounds to a much wider global audience, frankly, so important to you?
So scientists generally do their work by publishing and presenting at conferences. And we are very excited to share our work with our colleagues. But sometimes these communities are smaller than we want them to be. I just recently presented my work on this volcano at the American Geophysical Union Conference. And there was somewhere between 50 and 100 people in the audience, all of them very interested in volcano infrasound, of course. But that size of an audience is not as large as we think is necessary. And the job of scientific communication needs to, increase our audience size and demonstrate that what we do is important. So taking part in a documentary such as this that reaches tens of millions of people, such that, you know, the word volcano infrasound might become a household term, that was just really exciting for me. The idea that the work that I do and I get so excited about sees a wider distribution. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I thought what was so cool about this episode was that you could, like, just myself. I mean, I'm not a volcanologist. I know, you know, and then you use all these big science terms and all of that when you present your research to other scientists. But this was so understandable and it was super cool. So, I mean, is that kind of part of it, right? Is that it's like, you know, just the average person can sit down and watch this and learn about what you do and why it's important.
Yeah, and I think this speaks to Will Smith's charisma and his connection with a global audience. You know, he has the ability to connect with people, the ability to translate what it is that, you know, I might say to my colleagues to a more a broader audience, and people, you know, quite frankly, people like him and they know him. It's striking to me that on this remote island in the South Pacific, everyone knew who Will Smith was.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
that's super cool.
He's a worldwide celebrity.
Well, I thought it's interesting too. There was this scene where you talk about, and I can't remember the name, but where, like, when the volcano, there are these, it's basically like liquid, right? That flies up into the air. But then it falls down as rock when it comes down. And you ask Will Smith a question about, like, so why is this flat? And as you showed him this big rock, and he was like, oh, it's because that makes sense. Like, it would, you know, the liquid, you know, it comes up, but as it comes down, it gets smushed and it flattens out. And, you know, it's just, it is, it's this, he used terms and he could explain things in a way that you just understood as an as an average person sitting and watching this?
Yeah, you're speaking about these spatter bombs, which litter the crater area of Yazur. And these giant, they look like cow patties almost, that measure 6 feet across, 2 meters across. And, you know, Will nailed it. He saw these things, these molten blebs of spatter, you know, being thrown out of the volcano. And he knew immediately that when they land, they impact the ground, they're still slightly molten, and so they'll spread out and create this this cow patty type of lava bomb.
Well, I so appreciate your time with us today. I thought it was such a neat episode. So thank you so much for talking to us about this.
Well, thanks for having me. And you know, I'm so happy that Boise State was able to be part of something that was that reached a large audience. And I do have to give credit to a lot of people behind the scenes at Boise State University, including Jake Anderson, who's a research professor here, who helps to prepare the sensors that I used at this volcano and many other volcanoes. And also a professor named Ted Apple, who provided to me a device that was able to translate this inaudible infrasound into audible tones. And so there's a moment when Will Smith is taking a look at a handheld instrument and observing this infrasound that we can't hear and the speaker on this instrument is actually oscillating. So thanks to those guys and many more undergraduates and graduate students who helped me out in the field and specifically for this project.
Absolutely. And a big thank you to you. We've been talking with Boise State University volcanologist, Dr. Jeffrey Johnson. The National Geographic series, which is airing on Disney Plus right now, takes Smith all around the world. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today. Our producers are Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright. Our executive producers are Paul Stribling and Tom Michael. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here on Monday.